Morning. Today's daf and Erevin Yud Aleph. We are starting on Yud Amud Beis, about halfway down in the Amud with the words Tanan Hasam. Yesterday's discussion revolved around two very basic issues. First issue was a continuation of the Gemara's discussion, which we've already had now extensively throughout, and that is exactly how to create the Mavui and how to adjust the Mavui properly. We spoke about the Mavui having heights, having an adjustment of either korelechi, and we talked about the various parameters of the korelechi in terms of the ability to carry within the mavui. We talked about the pesach of the mavui, the entranceway of the mavui, that it cannot exceed 10 amos. The Gemara's discussion yesterday revolved around the fact that, first of all, Shitas Rav Yehuda is that the mavui itself could actually be larger than 10 amos in terms of a Pesach, but the halach is that it can only be 10 amos. We follow like the Tanakama. If the entrance of the Mavui is in fact more than 10 amos, so what do you have to do? So the answer is actually very simple. You have to create wall so that the entrance itself is only 10 amos. We discussed yesterday what exactly can be done outside of building a wall. So there are a couple of other creative things that one could do. We discussed yesterday that you could basically take the mavui and split it in half, meaning have a wall going down the length of the mavui in order to split into two parts and create each one of them its own separate mavui. And we talked about not having to build up all the wall, but as long as there is a majority of wall that you're building up, that would be sufficient as well. So one example that we discussed yesterday is let's say for example we had a Pesach that was 15 amos. So instead of building 5 amas of wall, which of course you could do, so you could build 3 amas of wall and put it at a distance of 2 amas from the side of the mavui, and that also would go ahead and be a successful way of closing up that gap. Why the numbers 2 and 3? So the answer is actually pretty straightforward, because when you are looking at that area that you need to fill in, so there has to be more wall than airspace. So there has to be 3 amas of wall and 2 amas of airspace. Because the halacha is that you need parts, you need the breach to be less than that of the omed, than that of the actual wall. And so this is a basic idea, this is a basic principle, that omed has to be meruba al haparetz, that you need more wall than airspace. The Gemara yesterday went through a couple of details within this halacha of omed meruba al haparetz. That's the basic idea. What we're going to do now for just a little bit, to finish off yesterday's daf, is that the Gemara is going to go over this idea of Omen Meruba al haparetz in another scenario, unusual scenario, to be honest with you, in terms of an application, because we're not going to be really talking about walls, but we will be talking about closing in spaces. And so we're just going to take a little bit of a detour from the Erevin topic, but we are going to be discussing this discussion of Omen Meruba al haparetz. So we are Tanan Hasan, we are on Yud Amud Beis, halfway down, and we're going to be starting with it's not exactly a Mishnah, but it's a Tosefta, and it is regarding Tumas Ohel. Let's start off. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah, or Ha'asla, V'chalo Shalom Mitzarf and Mitepach. So we're talking about basically a toilet seat. A toilet seat where you could just envision the general shape of a toilet seat. Here it happens to be made out of leather, but whatever the case is, it wasn't indoor, it was outdoor, but it doesn't matter. The idea is that you had material, followed in by a hole, followed in by material, and this is the basic configuration that we're looking at over here. Now, what we're going to be discussing is the following, and that is Tumas Ohel, which means that there's mace underneath. I understand it's unusual, the circumstance itself, but we're, of course, interested over here in the concept, in the conceptual. And that is that if there were mace underneath the toilet seat, so would the toilet seat itself serve as an ohel? Would it be a roof in order to convey the tumah underneath that area? So what do we know regarding tumas ohel? It's actually very straightforward. Rashi here brings it down. In order for a roof to convey a tumas ohel, so in terms of the roof itself, the minimum area of a roof is 1 tefach by 1 tefach. And it also has to be a tefach high off the ground, a cubed tefach. With that stated, so our toilet seat over here is going to be a tefach by tefach area at its minimum, with, of course, the notable exception that it's got a hole in its center. And so the question now becomes, with this hole in the center, are we going to say that it is going to be a roof in order to convey that tumah? And so the Gemara is going to be discussing this in detail. So or aslam v'chalosh shalom mitzarfim b'tefach. So it will be mitzarf for that tefach. So first the Gemara establishes my or asla. Amar Rava bar Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan, or Kisui Shol Beis HaKisei. Okay, so it's basically the covering for the Beis HaKisei. Again, it's a toilet seat. The Kama. Now, exactly what dimensions are we talking about? Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar. So we're going to have two versions of what the exact dimensions are of this toilet seat. We start with Rav Dimi. Etzba'ayim Mikan. Ve'etzba'ayim Mikan. Ve'etzba'ayim Revach Be'emsa. Two finger widths on one side. Two finger widths on the other side, and the hole in the middle is two finger widths. Now, obviously, that gets us to a total of six etzba'os. How much is a tefach? We normally assume a tefach is four etzba'os. So that's a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to note that in just a moment. But the point over here is that I have solid material, followed then by the hole in the center, followed then by solid material, and they're all sharing the same linear dimension. Two, two, and two. And under those circumstances, what Rav Dimi is saying is that we have now an ohel. It is a roof. And the reason why, presumably, is because I have more omed than paros. In other words, the two, the aggregate total of the two plus two is four, which obviously exceeds that of the two in the middle. This is Rav Dimi's version. Ravin, Kiyasa Ravin, he has a slightly different version in terms of what the numbers are. Amar Esba Mechsa Mikan Ve'etzba Mechsa Mikan Ve'etzba Revach. The etzba revach the emsa. So you have a 1.5 etzba on one side, meaning made up, that's the material of the toilet seat, 1.5 on the other side, and one in the middle. So that's 1.5 on one side, 1.5 on the other side. That it gets you to three. The one in the middle gets you to four. That now makes a total of four etzbaos. Now, Amalei Abai LeRav Dimi Mi Pligisu. So Abai says to Rav Dimi, now question. Are you and Ravin arguing? Now, the answer seems to be, of course, yes. Meaning one is giving us the numbers of 2, 2, and 2. The other one is giving us the numbers of 1.5, 1, 1.5. So, of course, they're arguing. So, Amalei, so he says, actually, lo. No, we're not arguing. We're actually looking at the same linear dimensions. I know that's kind of hard to understand, but we are. And when measuring the tefach is made up of four etzbaos. That is... That is factual. However, when talking about an etzba, so etzba literally translates as a finger, but when measuring the tefach, you're actually supposed to use your thumb, the width of your thumb, which obviously is slightly wider than that of any of your other fingers. And so when we're talking about a tefach made up of four etzbaos, so actually it's the width of your thumb. So it's thumb, 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 thumb. That makes up a tefach. So, what he's trying to express is that me and Ravin actually are on the exact same page, meaning we are looking at the same linear dimension. We're both looking at that same tefach. I happen to be counting it with my thumb, so therefore it's four to get to that point, and Ravin is counting it with a smaller finger, so it takes six smaller fingers to get to that tefach. But we're actually in agreement. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe, but the Gemara says, but I have a hard time assuming that there's no disagreement whatsoever. So the Gemara says, velo paginan, what do you mean they're not arguing? Amalei la'ai paginu. No, they are arguing. Because even though, yes, they're ultimately each one of them getting to the same tefach measurement. However, if you look carefully at their numbers, you will note a difference between the way that they are actually shaping their arguments. Over omed meruba al haparetz mishtei ruchos palginu. They're actually arguing over omed meruba al haparetz from two sides. This is something we discussed yesterday, and this is why it's coming up right now. Liditcha havei omed mishtei ruchos leravin ruach achas havei omed mishtei ruchos havei omed. Look carefully over here at the numbers being presented. One is two, two, and two, and that's called omed meruba al haparetz. The other is 1.5, 1, 1.5. Oh. When there's this requirement of omen meruba al haparetz, that means to say that there needs to be more material than the space. Now, when measuring the material and space, are you able to look at it from two of the sides? Or do you have to say that there's more material than space just comparing the material and the space side by side? And as we discussed yesterday, this is a point of contention. And the Gemara is saying, and that's the point of contention over here. Meaning, you're right, in terms of the actual measurement of what they each arrive at, each of them arriving at that same tefach. One's using thumbs to measure, that's why it's four, and the other's using fingers to measure, and that's why it's six. But in terms of the principle of Omid Murubal HaParetz, do I get to compare the material in the airspace by putting the two materials on the two opposite sides, or do I, or no? Can I only look at, am I only allowed to look at the material side by side without looking at the other side? Meaning, do I have to only look at it from the standpoint of the material and the airspace? And the Gemara says, and that's the point of contention. That's why one says two, two, and two, because what he allows is for you to look at the center two and compare it to its two sides. And that's why the four obviously exceeds the two. On the other hand, the other position is no, you can't do that. It has to be one and a half, one, one and a half, because only under those circumstances where I have material, more material on one side than that of the airspace, then and only then do I say, Omei Merubal HaParetz. And the Gemara says this seems to be correct. Because if you think that there really is no debate, this should have been Ravin's numbers. They should have been Etzba v'shlish mekam v'etzba v'shlish mekam v'etzba v'shlish Revach v'emsa. He should have gone with the numbers of one and a third, one and a third, one and a third. Then I would have agreed with you that there is no debate whatsoever. But he didn't give those numbers. He gave one and a half, one, one and a half. Clearly there is a principled argument over here between Rav Dimi and Ravin. The Elamai Pagina, so the Gemara says, okay, so what you're trying to tell me that we're arguing, so Lididi Hachi by Leila Meimar. So he says, okay, but if that's true, my example should have been a different example, which would have been Etzba B'Shnei Shlishim Mikan. I would have given the example of one and two thirds, Etzba B'Shnei Shlishim Mikan, one and two thirds, meaning the actual material of the seed itself are going to be one and two thirds wide, the Etzba Ayim V'shnei shlishim revach be'emsa, and two and two thirds in the middle. Meaning, if in fact my position was is that I'm allowed to look at the two sides against the center airspace, and I really wanted to hammer that point, so then I would have given a much more unevenly distributed number. I should have gotten one and one third on one side, one and one third on the other side. Sorry, one and two thirds on one side, one and two thirds on the other side. And two and two-thirds in the middle. And that really would have hammered the point. Because now the material on each side is significantly less than the center. But what I'm allowed to do now is take the combination of the two and match that against the center. And there's more material than airspace. Mishneit stadim, and that would have been. And that really would have proved my point. So, ala i'ika lamemer te paginam beparts ki ome paginam. So the Gemara says, look, okay. I'm not going to go so far as to say that we're arguing about Omid Meruba al HaParetz from either one side or from two sides. All right, I'll give you that. We're not arguing over that. But we are arguing at least in the minimum of the principle of Omid Ki HaParetz. Okay, again, something we discussed yesterday. And that is, what if the wall and the airspace are equal in number? Is that going to be considered an effective mechitza, or is that not an effective mechitza? Again, something we talked about very briefly yesterday, and the Gemara says at least that's subject for a debate, meaning to say that the one who gave the numbers of 2, 2, and 2, so he's of the position that Omid Ki HaParetz is acceptable. The one who said 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, he would say that Omid Ki HaParetz is unacceptable, so the Gemara says at least they're arguing about that very topic. Akan, that takes us down to the end of the Gemara's discussion of Omid Ki HaParetz, although, of course, it's coming up. Again, it actually will come up later this morning in our daf, as it is a fundamental discussion as in dealing with the topic of mechitza. We are on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, and we are going now to the width of the mavui. Im yesh l'tzuras haPesach, al papisha rachel miyaser in tzurach l'mai. What did our Mishnah say? That the entrance of the mavui cannot exceed 10 amos. However, the Mishnah then went on to teach us that if there's a tzuras haPesach, which was going to be the main part of today's daf, if, in fact, there's a Tzuras HaPesach, so then the Tzuras HaPesach allows for the entrance to be greater than 10 amos. Now, the Tzuras HaPesach is pretty straightforward. We're going to be discussing it today in some detail, and that is that I have a frame of a door. So I have the two side posts, and I have a lentil going over the top. I say lentil, it doesn't have to be solid material. Again, that's coming up later this morning. But once I have the Tzuras HaPesach, so that basically substitutes for a wall, And so even though obviously everyone's freely allowed to go through it, because it's just the frame of the door, it's not the actual door itself, nevertheless, the Tzuras HaPesach is viewed in Halacha basically as a wall. And so therefore, our Mishnah taught us that if I have the entrance of the Mavui exceeding 10 Amos in width, but it has the Tzuras HaPesach, so that would be okay, that would be acceptable. Now, first of all, the Gemara reviews with us, not yet. Ashkechan, we are on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. Ashkechan, Tzuras HaPesach, Demahanya Barachlo. So, what problems can Tzuras HaPesach solve for? So it can solve for excessive width. If the width of the entrance is more than 10 Amos, Tzuras HaPesach will be effective over there. So, the Amaltara Demahanya Begavo. And we go back to the topic of Amaltara. Let's remind each other. The Amaltara was basically some sort of decorative that was placed right above the lentil. Exactly what it was, oak wood, oak beams. We talked about bird's nests serving as some sort of decorative. And the reason why the Amaltara now is going to solve for the problem of being too high off the ground is because it's eye-catching. You look at the Amaltara, and you're going to look up to see it, and you're going to see the Kara. Even though the Kara was placed above 20 Amos, which is no good, but because the Amaltara is there, people are going to notice the Kara. So, Tzuras HaPesach, we learned in the Mishnah, solves for the problem of it being too wide. The Amaltara solves for the problem of the Korah being too high. And the question of the Gemara now, pretty straightforward, Ipchamai. Well, can Tzuras HaPesach solve for the problem of height? And can for the Amaltara solve for the problem of width? Gemara, that's exactly the Gemara's question. So Tashma Detain, so the Gemara says, I think it's pretty clear. Let's learn a Braisa together on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mavui, which is higher than 20 Amos, so you have to reduce it. Meaning when we say the word Mavui, again, we of course mean the Korah. So the Korah has to be reduced. And if there is a Tzuras HaPesach, so then it does not need to be reduced. Okay, so it doesn't require much thinking. The Braisa says it very clearly, that the Tzuras HaPesach now solves to the problem of height. Even though the Korah was above 20 Amos, but with the Tzuras HaPesach, so that would be just fine. Now, obviously, by the way, we haven't spoken much Halach Lamaisa, but with this Gemara in hand, so you understand that many communities making an Eruv, so the first thing they need to do is create a perimeter around the area which we're actually going to be making the Eruv, right? The assumption is, it's a bit of a misnomer. You say Eruv, people immediately turn to the telephone poles and the wires. The Eruv is the food that's being contributed by every member that's within the area, but the first thing you need to do is that you need to enclose the area. You have to create a perimeter around the area. So, okay, that's, people think of that as being the Eruv. Okay, it's facilitating the Eruv. Anyway, the point is that we just learned together that in creating a Tzuras HaPesach around the area, around the community, so it could be that it's higher than 20 Amos. When, nowadays less and less, but back in the good old days when telephone poles were the means of creating the Tzuras HaPesach, so those were the side posts and a wire that went over, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on this morning, so it could be higher than 20 Amos. In fact, often is the time, it is higher than 20 Amos, but it could be higher than 20 Amos. Why? Because we just learned together that Tzuras HaPesach can solve for the problems of width and height. Meaning a Tzuras HaPesach can be wider than 10 Amos, it can be higher than 20 Amos, that's what we just concluded. Amaltara, now continuing in the Gemara, when it comes to the Amaltara berechvomai, so we know the Amaltara solves for the problem of height. Can Amaltara solve for the problem of width? Now, just conceptually, it is admittedly, this next piece of Gemara is a little bit challenging, because what is the idea of Amaltara? It's something decorative, it's something eye-catching. And when I put the Korah too high, so it no longer serves as a hecker, and what do you do now when the Amaltara is up there? So basically, you're turning everyone's attention, hey, take a look, because we have the Amaltara over there, and when they see the Amaltara, they're also going to see the Korah. So that's why Amaltara solves for the problem of height. But the problem of width, it's a little bit strange. What is the problem of width? The problem is that when it is more than 10 Amos wide, so it's no longer considered a Pesach, but rather it's considered a breach. It's a Pirtza. And now I put Amaltara over there, and now what am I saying? It's not breached because I have something that draws people's attention. So admittedly, from a conceptual standpoint, from a Sfar standpoint, it's difficult to understand how the Amaltara would solve for the problem of width. I just explained how it solves for the problem of height. So how exactly does it solve for the problem of width? So it is a little bit difficult for me to try to put into words how it could do that, but the Gemara is entertaining the idea that it can. So Tashma, so the Gemara says, well, let's see, the Tanya, now we have another Braisa. Mavushu gavo me esrim ama yima. If the mavu is higher than 20 amas, you have to reduce the height of the korah. The haracha me'aser yimat. If it's wider than 10 amas, you have to reduce the width. The imyesh l'tzuras ha-pesach in ha-sarech. Now, with the tzuras ha-pesach, unnecessary. What's unnecessary? So presumably, both are unnecessary. Meaning, you don't have to make it lower than 20 amas. You don't have to make it narrower than 10 amas. The imyesh l'amaltara ein utzarech l'mayit. And then the Braisa says, and the same thing is true regarding an amaltara. That once you have an amaltara, you don't have to do it. Do what? So presumably, do it means I don't have to reduce the height and I don't have to reduce the width. And that's exactly the Gemara's proposal. My love, asefa, isn't when it says that with an amaltara, so you don't need to do it. You don't have to reduce the height and you don't have to reduce the width. That presumably is what pshat in the Braisa is. Seems to be a really good pshat. So the Gemara says, not necessarily low. Aresha. Maybe the amaltara just simply means I don't have to reduce the height. But an amaltara cannot solve for the problem of the entrance being too wide. That is a possible way to read the Braisa. Admittedly, it's a difficult way to read the Braisa, but at least it's possible. And the Gemara ends that discussion. So, regarding the Tzuras HaPesach, conclusion of the Gemara is very clear. That Tzuras HaPesach now will solve for the problems of height and width. Meaning that the Tzuras HaPesach, even though it's above 20 amos, that's fine. And even though it's wider than 10 amos, that's also fine. So that is the mechanics of a Tzuras HaPesach. A Maltara certainly solves for the problem of height. We learned that back earlier. That's nothing to discuss. Does it solve for the problem of width? Inconclusive in terms of the Gemara. We continue in the Gemara with more discussion regarding Tzuras HaPesach. Masila Rav Yehuda, Lechia Barav Kamei Derav. So Rav Yehuda teaches Chia Barav in front of Rav the following. Eino Tzarech Lamayit. Meaning, when learning our Mishnah, and when going over that its source of Pesach is going to with its source of Pesach, so you don't have to be memait, you don't have to reduce. Meaning it's the fact that the entrance is wider than 10 amos, but with its source of Pesach, that would be fine. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. That's how we started off our morning. So Amar Leh, so remember, this takes us back to Daf Beis Amud Beis. When Rav learned the Mishnah, so Rav had a different girsa of the Mishnah. Asneya tzarech lamayit. No, the correct girsa of the Mishnah should be that you have to reduce it. Rav was of the position that with a tzuras haPesach, it still needs to be circumscribed within 10 amos width. And a tzuras haPesach is not going to, even with a tzuras haPesach, it cannot be more than 10 amos wide. Now, just as a reminder to all of us, why did Rav say that? Why was Rav insistent that that's the correct way to read the Mishnah? So if you remember, the Gemara's discussion, the first discussion in the Gemara and the Masechta, was where do we get these dimensions of 20 amos and 10 amos? 20 amos high, 10 amos wide, where do they come from? So there was a thinking in the beginning of the Masechta that it comes from the entrance of the Heichal. Now the entrance of the Heichal was 20 amos tall and 10 amos wide. And that now becomes the prototype, that becomes the basic example of what is the allowable dimensions of a Pesach. Anything greater than that is not. And if you remember, the Gemara made the following observation. Now, the entrance of the Heichal had its source of Pesach, obviously. It had the frames, it had the side frames, it had the top lintel, it had source of Pesach, and yet it was still circumscribed within the dimensions of 20 and 10. And so what Rav therefore said is, that's correct. So that clearly demonstrates to us that even with a source of Pesach, it cannot be higher than 20, it cannot be wider than 10. And so they asked Rav, well, what about the Mishnah? So Rav says, well, let me tell you what the correct girsa of the Mishnah should be. That even with the Tzuras HaPesach, you still have to bring it down to the dimensions of 20 and 10. That was his understanding of the Mishnah. Now, we don't paskin like Rav, meaning we do paskin that with the Tzuras HaPesach, our girsa of the Mishnah is that it's allowed to exceed 10 amos. And we just concluded in our Gemara, and it's allowed to exceed 20 amos high. So, but nevertheless, though, the Gemara is going to be spending some time going over Rav's understanding of the Mishnah, Rav's girsa of the Mishnah. And so we are going forward with Rav's thinking, at least within the Gemara right now. Rav thinks that even with the Tzuras HaPesach, it still has to be within 10 amos wide. And it has to be within 20 amos tall. So, Amar Rav Yosef. So, Midivri Rabbeinu Nilman, Chatzar Sharuba Psachim Vechalonos Einu Niteres Betzuras HaPesach. So Rav Yosef says, I'm going to take Rav's halacha and I'm going to extend it. So the extension of Rav Yosef is the following. Let's say I have a chatzar and it's filled with doorways and windows. Windows over here does not mean windows like you and I understand windows, where you basically have a frame and you have panes of glass in the window. No, windows back then just simply meant that there was an opening. In other words, light was able to come in. And so when I have a chatzar courtyard where there's entrances and there are open areas for light to come in, and so in meaning to say, I have tremendous amounts of airspace, the Eino Niteres B'Tzuras HaPesach. The Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you. Meaning, so you could put a Tzuras HaPesach around that entire area, and it's not going to help. So my time, I hold the Yosem Yasser, Oser B'Mavui, U'Parts Merubala Omeid, Oser B'Chatzer. So look, let's take a look at two issues. One issue is the Yosem Yasser, when the Pesach is wider than 10. Now, according to Rav, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you. Another issue is Omeid Meruba ala Paritz, where if I have more Paritz than Omeid, so that also is a disqualifier. And so, Ma Yosem Yasser HaOser B'Mavui Eino Niter B'Tzuras HaPesach, Af Paritz Meruba ala Omeid HaOser B'Chatzer Eino Niter B'Tzuras HaPesach. And Rav Yosef says, look, if Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you with a Pesach that is greater than 10 Amos, a Tzuras HaPesach is therefore also not going to help you in terms of solving for the problem of Paritz Meruba al HaOmeid. So the Rav Yosef says it seems to be a pretty fair extension. And if Tzuras HaPesach cannot make a Pesach, if it's wider than 10 Amos, it cannot convert from a breach to a Pesach, it also can't make a more airspace basically turn into wall. So fine, so this is Rav Yosef's extension of Rav. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's a fair extension. So he says, okay, but Yosef Meyesser, a Pesach being wider than 10 Amos, it happens to be that we are more strict about that particular area. Consider, we reference once again the Pasei Beiros. That is going to be the topic of discussion in the second parak. Ole Regalim, those who making Aliyah Lerego. So in their long travel to Yerushalayim, so they're going to be stopping by on a Shabbos, by a well. How are they going to be able to draw water from the well on Shabbos, transferring from the well, which is the Rishus Yachin, into the street, Rishus Rabin? And the answer is brackets, and we'll discuss it in much greater detail when we get to the second parak. But meanwhile, what are we doing? We're just simply laying down four brackets and four corners, and now we have a Rishus Yachin, a special allowance given to the Ole Regalim. Now, in these circumstances where I have the brackets, so what is the brackets themselves? They're one amma by one amma. They are L-shaped brackets of an amma going in perpendicular directions. What about the airspace between the brackets? So that's up. That's open to a debate. We touched on it just yesterday. We touched on it again today. A machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. In the meantime, however, it's either going to be 10 amos in between or it's going to be 13 and a third in between. The point over here being is that according to Rebbe Meir, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. According to Reb Meir, it can't be more than 10 amos. So the point the Gemara now is making is that according to Reb Meir, the entranceway of 10 amos, so even by Pasei Beiros, we're not going to be more mako by that entranceway. So the Eitzel Pasei Beiros, Reb Meir, Tomer, Beparts, Merubah, La'omid, Hosei, Bechatzar, Shekeini, Tarta, Eitzel Pasei Beiros, L'divrei HaKol. So the Gemara says, when you look at the Pasei Beiros model, so according to Reb Meir, a Pesach cannot exceed 10 amos, even by the Pasei Beiros. Now, but when it comes to Omid Merubah LaParetz, so is there more airspace or is there more wall by the Pasei Beiros? Obviously, there's more airspace. So you see that when it comes to the Pasei Beiros, we're not ready to fiddle with the Pesach exceeding 10 amos wide, but we are ready to play around with the idea that there is more air than wall space. So basically what the Gemara is saying to Rav Yosef is, look, you want to take Rav's halacha and you want to extend it. You want to say that since the Tzuras HaPesach doesn't work by 10 amos, it also doesn't work by Omid Merubah LaParetz. The Gemara says they're not comparable. The 10 amma width is a non-negotiable. The Omid Merubah LaParetz is somewhat negotiable. So the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so the Gemara is not thrilled with Rav Yosef's extension of this halacha. Lema Misayele, the Gemara says, well, let's consider now the following brisa, and that's the Panasala, the Sharum Psachim Vechalanos. When I have the walls where there is more airspace than there is wall, mutter, it's permitted, as long as there's more wall than airspace. Now, a really difficult brisa to understand. Now, the brisa said, look, you can have tons of airspace, but as long as there's more wall than airspace. What just happened over here? So what the way to read the brisa is not that there is majority of airspace. It means that there's just simply a lot of airspace. As long as there's more omen, there's more actual wall than there's airspace. So the way the brisa reads is very simply, is that you can have a wall, and there could be a lot of doorways and a lot of windows. Again, windows just simply mean open area. But when all is said and done, you need more omid than parts. And so what this brisa seems to indicate is that even with the Tzuras HaPesach, when all is said and done, you have to have more wall than airspace. And this would then support Rav Yosef. So I'm Rav Kahana says, not necessarily. Kitanya hi b'pischa shimai. No, that it's not. These walls do not have a valid Tzuras HaPesach. So my pischa shimai. So the Gemara says, what exactly does that mean? That it's the frames are just simply not good. So pligi bar Rav Rechumi b'Rav Yosef chanamar deleisle shakfei v'chanamar deleisle tikra. So there are two ways to say it in terms of why these frames are no good. These frames are no good either because they don't have shakfei, they don't have correct side posts. They don't have correct side posts. Rashi describes where in terms of the side posts, so they're made up of stones, but it's not even. So Rashi describes Evan Yotz. I'm reading the Rashi. Mezuzos shenechlitzu avnei mikan umikan Evan Yotzas Evan Nechnasas ain't the Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach has to have nice clean side posts. So maybe over here the wall that's being described in the Braisa, they're not nice and clean, jagged edges. Or alternatively, there is no tikra, which means that there's no lintel. So in other words, you basically have a wall where basically for the chalon, for this airspace, it's in a total break in the area. It doesn't even have a top. It doesn't even have a lintel. Okay, so the Gemara basically saying that regarding the brisa that we just quoted, so the reason why I need more wall than airspace is because it's not even a valid Tzuras HaPesach. But with a valid Tzuras HaPesach, so then it would be okay, then it would be acceptable. So what do we have right now in the Gemara? We know that according to Rav, even with a Tzuras HaPesach, it can't be wider than 10 amos. Rav Yosef said, okay, let's take Rav's halacha and let's move it one step further. Not only is the Tzuras HaPesach not going to allow for a gap wider than 10 amos, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to be able to overcome where you have more air than wall. If you have more airspace than wall, Tzuras HaPesach cannot help you there as well. Now, we don't pass like Rav, we don't pass like Rav Yosef, but the Gemara still spends time discussing it. They are, they're part of the corpus of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And so therefore the Gemara is going to spend even more time discussing it. Now Rav Yochanan holds like Rav as well. How do I know that? So there was a story with a person from this valley. What he did is he put in four poles in four corners. Umasach zemura aleihem. And then he hung vine on the top of the poles. And they went to the Chacham, and the Chacham said, great, you have now what's called the Tzuras HaPesach. And it is going to be Matir Kalayim. You can plant vineyard on one side, and you can plant grain on the other side, and you're not violating the Issur of Kalayim. Now, the Issur of Kalayim, you can't plant vines and grains in the same patch together. Now, what if they are immediately side by side? So I know, just a couple days ago, we talked about the Revach, the space that has to exist between them. However, if the vineyard is planted on one side of the wall and the grains are planted on the other side of the wall, so they can be immediately next to one another, but the wall is going to create a partition, and not only a physical partition, but a halachic partition between the two, and that would make it totally fine, that would make it totally acceptable. Generally speaking, we have this notion that kalayim not only prevents us from planting them together in the same patch, but even when side by side, when they're sharing the same ground. That is, it seems to be very clear, it's a misconception, meaning that the only thing that the Torah is insistent with Kalayim is that they be distinct. So So if I have a wall separating them, so then they're distinct. And so that would allow for me to plant vines on one side, green on the other side. Now over here, understand that we are bringing this conclusion, this point, to an interesting conclusion, which is that I don't even have a physical wall. All I have is what is the Tzuras HaPesach. I have the side posts. I have the top, and the top over here, by the way, is just vine. And nevertheless, since the halacha deems that to be a wall, so that would allow me to plant on one side the vineyard and immediately on the other side the grains. Even though as I'm looking at it, they are planted literally side by side. But because halacha looks at the Tzuras HaPesach as a wall, so therefore it allows me to do this. Now, with all that stated, so the Gemara now brings an important discussion, debate between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. We just learned that regarding Kalayim, so I can plant vine on one side, grain on the other side. V'amar Reish Lakish k'derech she'itiru lo le'inyan Kalayim, kach itiru lo le'inyan Shabbos. Reish Lakish says, yeah, it works regarding Kalayim, it also works regarding Shabbos as well. Our Tzuras HaPesach will now be viewed as a wall. And Rav Yochanan amar le'kalayim itiru lo le'inyan Shabbos lo itiru lo. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the Tzuras HaPesach will be good vis-a-vis Kalayim, like the Braisa just taught us. It's not a Braisa, but like we just learned together. So, but it's only going to be regarding Kalayim. It's not going to be regarding Shabbos. Now, b'maya iskina. Now, a little more context over here. Elam aminatzad. Now, where were the vines hung? Were the vines hung halfway down the pole, meaning on the sides of the pole? The Gemara says, that can't be. V'amar v'chisa Tzuras HaPesach sha'asa minatzad lo asa v'lo klum. A Tzuras HaPesach demands that whatever you're stringing above has to be above. It can't be going off the side of the poles. That is what is called asu min atzad. And you can't do that in order to create Tzuras HaPesach. At least that's the opinion of Rav Chisda. So ela al gaban. So it must be that it was hung on top. Uvah my ilema be'aser b'halema Rav Yochanan Shabbos lo. Now, if we're talking about where it was hung on top, and it was within 10 amos one of the other, so then who's to say that that doesn't work? Of course that works. Meaning a Tzuras HaPesach within 10 amos, that of course works. So alalav b'yeser mi'yeser. So it must be that the poles are more than 10 amos away from one another. And the reason why Rav Yochanan says it doesn't work is because he subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav, that a Tzuras HaPesach cannot solve for the problem of too much width. If it's wider than 10 amos, Tzuras HaPesach simply doesn't work. So what we seem to have done over here is concluded that Rav Yochanan is in agreement with Rav. Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Lo olam b'eser. Really, it's 10 amos. And the problem over here, and the reason why it's open for debate, is because the vines were hung not on the top of the poles, but on the side of the pole. Uvid Rav Chisda Kamiflgi. And actually, they're arguing within the sheet of Rav Chisda, meaning that now the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is whether or not it could be hung off the side. But maybe the case in the case on discussion over here is that the poles themselves were within 10 amos one of the other. Rami Rav Yochanan ad Rav Yochanan, Rami de Reish Lakish ad Reish Lakish. Now what we have over here is clearly the sheet of Reish Lakish, which is Tzuras HaPesach works for Kalayim, it works for Shabbos. We have Rav Yochanan saying it works for Kalayim, but it doesn't work for Shabbos. Why it doesn't work for Shabbos? So we offered a couple of explanations, but that's where we stand right now. The Gemara now notes that we seem to be having contradictions within both of their viewpoints. We are on the very bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish, the Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yehuda Bar Chanina. The Gemara quotes a statement made by Reish Lakish in the name of Rav Yehuda Bar Chanina. As we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, Peya Muteres Le'ingin Klaim of Alol Shabbos. That if I have the vines hanging over, meaning I basically made it Tzuras HaPesach, so that would be good vis-a-vis Klaim, but it would not be good vis-a-vis Shabbos. Now, how can Reish Lakish make such a statement? Just moments earlier, Reish Lakish said that Tzuras HaPesach is good, not only for Klaim, but also works for Shabbos as well. That's the stira. And Rav Yochanan Amar, ki mechitzos l'Shabbos, delo kach mechitzos Klaim delo. And Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying, is that just like by mechitzos Shabbos, we're not going to say that's mechitzos for Shabbos, so too for Klaim, it's not going to be mechitzos for Klaim. Oh, that's problematic, because on the Amud Aleph, Rav Yochanan said, it works for Klaim, it simply doesn't work for Shabbos. So we have a steer within Rav Yochanan. So we have some explaining to do. So, Bishlam of the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish Lokasha Hadideh Hadarabe. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, you'll read both statements of Reish Lakish carefully. One, he was saying in his own name. The other, he was saying in his Rebbe's name. Okay, so, and he didn't agree with his Rebbe. Okay. So Ella the Rav Yochanan and the Rav Yochanan kasha, but as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, Iyamar Bishlama Hasam Al Gaban Hachamin Atzad Shapir. So the Gemara says, well, actually we have a way of addressing Rav Yochanan and understanding Rav Yochanan. Previously, when Rav Yochanan says that it's good for kalayim, it's talking about where the vines were hung on top of the poles. Here, where Rav Yochanan says it's not good for anything, it's not good for Shabbos, it's not good for kalayim, that's when the vines were hung off the side of the poles. So then that would be perfect. But ela I amar idid idem in etzad Michael amemar. But if you're going to argue, which we try to argue on the Amud Aleph, that the vine was hung on the side, so then we have a difficulty. Because now we have a steer within Rabbi Yochanan. On the Amud Aleph, we said, it works for Kalayim, it doesn't work for Shabbos. Why doesn't it work for Shabbos? Because it was hung off the side. But meanwhile, on the Amud Beis, on the top of our Amud, so it says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't work across the board. Not for Shabbos, not for Kalayim. And even if it's hanging off the side, it should at least work for Kalayim. That's a problem. And the Gemara says, what are we going to say? La'olam idi v'idi min atzad. So the Gemara says, no, really they're both talking about where the vines were hung off the side of the pole. And Hasan be'eser hachabi yosem e'eser. And now it's just a question of, within 10 amos, are the poles within 10 amos of one another, or are they not within 10 amos of one another? U'minatim edushan alei ben eser li yosem e'eser. And how do I know that there is such a difference? The amar lei Rabbi Yochanan le'Reish Lakish, because we had the following discussion between Rabbi Yochanan le'Reish Lakish. Lo kacha yamaisa shahalach Rabbi Yeshua eitzel Rabbi Yochanan menur lumo Torah. Wasn't there an incident where Rabbi Yeshua went to learn by Rabbi Yochanan Menuri? And Afa Bishabaki Be'elchus Kalayim. Now, Rabbi Yeshua himself was an expert on the topic of Kalayim, but, okay, good, he was an expert. He always wanted to learn more. Umasu Shioshe Bein Ha'ilan Umasach Zmur Mi Ilan Li Ilan. And while they were talking, they were sitting between trees, and there was a vine hanging from one to the other. The Amar Lo Rebbe E Gefanim Kan Ma'u Lizroa Kan. If vines were planted on one side of this source of Pesach, can I plant green on the other side? So Amar Lo Be'eser Mutar Be'yosem Be'eser Aser. He says, well, it depends. If the trees are within 10 amos of one another, the answer is yes. Greater than 10 amos, the answer is going to be no. Now B'mayaskina. Now a little more clarification. Ilema Al Gaban Yosem Be'eser Aser. So now, if the vines are placed on top, so then, even if it's more than 10 amos, it should be perfectly fine. But Tanya, here we have a Raisa. Hayusham kanim hadukranim v'asalehem peya milamala afilu biyosta me'eser mutter. If I have the poles and I made I made some sort of wire, some sort of vine on top of it, so even more than 10 amos, it would work. Now, mind you, we're talking about kalim over here, but the Braisa says very clearly it's going to work. So therefore, Ella lav min atzad. So it must be talking about min atzad. V'kamer leh be'eser mutar yosem e'eser aser. And the vines were not on the top of the vines, but they're coming off the sides of the vine. And as a result of that, it is very clear that within 10 it's fine. More than 10 it's not okay. It's unacceptable. Shema minah. So we see that there is a distinction. When the vines are coming off the side, there's a distinction between within 10 amos or greater than 10 amos. Okay, so we do have a way of resolving even the steer within Rav Yochanan. Comes out clearly from the Gemara over here that the Tzuras HaPesach, according to Rav Yochanan, cannot exceed 10, but and according to Rav, it cannot exceed 10 amos as well. But again, as we pointed out, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that Tzuras HaPesach can go beyond 10 amos, like the simple reading of our Mishnah. Also has become clear, and we're going to be discussing it now in more detail, that in order for the Tzuras HaPesach to be valid, so the string going on the top has to be on top. It cannot be going off the side of the poles. That becomes obviously critical in terms of people wanting to use already existing structures as your Tzuras HaPesach. Again, the telephone poles, for example, as your existing structures to be used at Tzuras HaPesach. The problem, of course, is that if the strings that are going are not going off the top of the poles, but they're coming off the side, which does happen, so that's going to be an unacceptable Tzuras HaPesach. Now, is there a way to solve that problem? The answer, of course, is yes. And we'll see in just a little bit how you could solve that problem. In the meantime, we continue in the Gemara. We are about a third of the way down, beginning with the words Gufa. We're going to go back to a statement that we made earlier. Amar Rav Chisda Tzuras HaPesach Shasam and Atzal Lo'asav Alo Klum. The wire going over the top of the Tzuras HaPesach cannot be going off the side of the side post. They have to be going off the top of the side post. And if you made it off the side, lo asa v'lo klum, it's nothing. So the Amar of Chis, the source of Pesach, Shamar Tzri Chishatei Bria Kadei, Lamid Badalas. Now the source of Pesach has to be strong. Strong enough where it could support a door. You don't need a door in the doorway, but at least could be strong enough to support a door. V'afilu del shakashim. Now it doesn't have to be a heavy door. It could be the lightest door. The door could be made up of straw, but it has to be able to support a door. Amar Yish Lakish Mishum Rav Yonah, Tzurus HaPesach, Tzricha Heker Tzir. Another halacha the Gemara says, and that is that the Tzurus HaPesach needs a socket, right? The brackets. Now, generally speaking, in our doors, so how is the door held to the doorpost? So it's held with hinges. Okay, that's our modern invention. So that's not ours, and it's not that modern. But back in the time of the Gemara, so they didn't operate with hinges. So how was the door bolted into the doorway? So there was a hole placed on the bottom and a hole placed on the top, and then you just simply inserted the pegs of the door into these holes, and that's how doors were inserted back in the good old days. So again, what Rav Chista is teaching us is that, sorry, Rav Yana is teaching us is that that in order for the Tzurus HaPesach work, so again, you don't need an actual door in the doorway, but at least you need the holes so that you could put a door in the doorway. So my Heker Tzir, Amar Rav Avia, Avakta. So the Gemara gives the Aramaic word for what we just described. Ashkechina Rav Acha, Bered Rav Avila, Tamida de Rav Ashi, Amar Luhu, Amar Midi B'Tzurus HaPesach. Is there any details that you learn regarding Tzurus HaPesach? Amar Lei, Lo Amar, V'Lo Klum. He says, no, I got no details for you regarding Tzurus HaPesach. Now, it could be that what he was just saying no to was this last detail of Heker Tzir. Or it could just simply have been a discussion of any qualifications, and the answer is no. Okay. Anyway, what we're seeing over here in the Gemara clearly is this idea that Tzurus HaPesach, the frame of a doorway, so you don't need a door there, but at least you need enough potential so that the door could exist in that circumstance. And that's why we saw together that the string has to go over the top. That's why it has to be able to hold the door as light as it is. That's the idea behind Heker Tzir, that there has to be holes in the ground for the bolts of the door. So the idea over here is basically all expressing itself that there must be at least potential of a door being there. Tanit Tzurus HaPesach, She'amru, Kana Mikan, 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 Vikana Al Gabeim, Tzrichim Liga, O Ein Tzrichim Liga. So in terms of the Tzurus HaPesach, again, it's really straightforward. It's a side post, it's another side post, and it's a post going over the top. And now this post going over the top, does it have to make contact with the side posts? Or does it not have to make contact? Meaning, can the string be hovering over the top of the side posts? So Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzrichim Liga, Rav Sheshes Amar Tzrichim Liga. And here we have a machlokas on Marayim in terms of whether it has to touch. Also Rav Nachman Vavad Uvda Beresh Galusa Kishmaite. Now Rav Nachman's of the position that the top portion of the Tzurus HaPesach, the horizontal, does not have to make contact with the verticals. And as long as it's over the verticals, it has to be directly over. As long as it's over the verticals, that's sufficient. In fact, when Rav Nachman set up the Tzurus HaPesach for the Resh Galusa, he did exactly as he just paskened. So Amalei Rav Sheshes L'Shamei Rav Gada. Now Rav Sheshes was really unhappy because he felt that wasn't a valid Tzurus HaPesach. The horizontal is not touching the top of the two verticals. And so Rav Sheshes is going to take matters into his own hands. Actually, he's going to deputize his attendant, where he says to the attendant, here's what you're going to do. Go and take down the Tzurus HaPesach that was set up. Now, Rav Sheshes, we understand that he argued. So was this appropriate behavior in which he ripped it down because he felt it was no good? So it's a difficult question, and I don't have great answers in terms of the appropriate nature of this behavior, but he did it. So Amalei Rav Sheshes L'Shamei Rav Gada, so he told his attendant Rav Gada, Zil Shlof Shadinu, take down the poles, throw it on the ground. Azu Shlof Shadinu, now he was loyal, and he did exactly as he was instructed. The consequences, Ashkechinu Resh Galusa, sorry, Ashkechuhu Debei Resh Galusa, Chavshuhu. So they threw him in jail. Right? He's destroying the property, not just anybody's property, the property of the Resh Galusa. Okay. They sent him right to jail. So Azur Rav Sheshes Kama Bava. So Rav Sheshes goes to the entrance of the jail, Amar Lei, Gida Poke. Ta Nafak Vyasa. So he gave instructions for him to go out of jail, and he went out of jail. Now, that's not normally how things work. In other words, normally you have to appeal. It's not clear in the Gemara how he got him out of jail. Point is, he got him out of jail. Okay, certainly a strange story all around. Was Rav Sheshet's actions appropriate? And the consequences that came out of it? Okay, admittedly, it's a strange story. Anyway, we all intuitively know what the halacha is going to be over here. Meaning, well, that's not true. I shouldn't say it that way. Meaning, if you know how Eruvim are constructed around various communities, so you'll know that we pass like Rav Nachman, not like Rav Sheshet. Meaning to say that the horizontal wire going across does not have to make contact with the side posts. And so often is the time is that if I want to use wire as my horizontal for a Eruv, so what we're going to do, and it's not coming off the top of the pole, it's coming off the side of the pole, so what you'll do is you'll create a new side post. And it only needs to be 10 tefachim high. And it has to be directly underneath the wire. But once you do that, so great. Now you have a Tzuras HaPesach. And we paskin like Rav Nachman. And we make use of this, in other words, to solve for the problems of how am I going to be using wires that are not coming off the top of the pole. So now we just learned. Ashkechei Rav Sheshel Rabba Bar Shmuel Amarle Tanimar Midi B'Tzuras HaPesach. So he says, did you learn anything regarding Tzuras HaPesach? Amarle In, he says, yeah, Tanina Kippa. So I learned something regarding Tzuras HaPesach, and notably the arch. Now, when we're talking about the arch, so Rameir Mechayim Mezuzah V'Chachamim Potrim. So we have a machlokes between Rameir and the Chachamim as to whether or not this archway is going to be Chayim and a Mezuzah V'Shavim. So what is going on over here? First of all, how do we transition to the topic of Mezuzah, and what does this have to do with our discussion regarding Tzuras HaPesach? So stay tuned, as hopefully all this will become clear. V'Shavim. So first of all, we know there's a debate, but before we get to the debate, let's talk about the points in which they agree. Here's where they agree. She'im yesh bergla asaram, shehi chayeves. So if, let's say, the doorway which we're affixing the mezuzah to, and this doorway is a really straightforward doorway, right? 10 tefachim off the ground, 4 tefachim wide, minimum dimensions for a doorway. It's going to be chayev in a mezuzah, we all agree. Am rabbi akomodim im gova asar ve'im bergla shlosha, so Abaye now is going to first explain where they agree. So says Abaye, starting off, that if let's say, for example, it's 10 tefachim high, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. Now, I know the language of the Gemara is in beregla shlosha. What that means to say is that our archway starts making its break towards the center at a really early point. Meaning, even before it goes up above 3 tefachim from the ground, it starts breaking inward. So I have the 10 tefachim height, but I don't have the 4 tefachim width. And therefore, we're all in agreement it's no good. Or, conversely, let's say I do have the 4 tefachim width, but I don't have the 10 tefachim height. Also, no good. And it's not going to be chayv in a mezuzah, it's not a Pesach. Ki pligi b'yesh b'ragla ha'gimel v'gova asara, v'in rach v'arba, v'yesh bo lachok l'ashlimo l'arba. Where's the machlokes between our mayor and the chachamim in the following scenario? Where the archway ends up being 10 tefachim high when you get to the top of the center of the arch. And as far as where it started from the ground, it started 4 tefachim away from one another. And going up 3 tefachim, it continued to be 4 tefachim at a distance. And now it starts making its break inward. It's an archway. It starts breaking now into the interior. Ah, so here's the machlokes between our mayor and the chachamim. Rameir Sabra Chokikim Lashlin, Rabban Sabri Ain Chokikim Lashlin. So Rameir says that what halacha allows us to do is to basically chisel out the area to look at the frame. In other words, you don't actually have to chisel, but halacha allows you to basically look at that area as if it is chiseled out. And so therefore, what do I have? I have a frame now of 10 tefachim height, 4 tefachim width. It's blocked. It's an occluded area. That's true. But halacha allows you, as long as you start off on the bottom, 4 tefachim apart from one another, and as long as the center height is 10 tefachim high, halacha allows you to chisel it out. That's Rameir. Masha'inkin, according to the Chachamim, ain chokkin lahashlin. No, halacha does not allow you to do that. Okay, now, be that as it may, what just comes out over here is that is my horizontal touching the vertical? The answer is no. Now, certainly according to Rameir, the answer is no. I'll tell you what, even according to the Chachamim, the answer is also no. Because even though the Chachamim don't subscribe to this idea of Chokik and Lahashlin, but when all is said and done, I have an archway. And even if the entire archway is 4 tefachim width and 10 tefachim height, but it's an archway, that horizontal, At what point is it horizontal? Only in the center. Meaning, even according to the Chachamim, there is going to come a point in time where the horizontal and vertical are not physically touching each other, but the halacha allows us to look at it as if they're touching. So what comes out over here is that based on this halacha regarding the archway, we've just concluded the horizontal does not have to touch the vertical. Now, all this is great if you subscribe to Rav Nachman's viewpoint. Oh, but if you're Rav Sheshes, you're not so happy with what we just learned. And Amar Lei, now Rav Sheshes says, and admittedly, this is going to be strange, but Rav Sheshes says, Imishkach Luhu, if you find them, and presumably then means the family of the Reish Galusa, Lo Teim Luhu Lebe Reish Galusa, V'lo Midi, don't tell them about this archway. Meham Masisa Dekipa, right? Don't share this information with them. It's not going to be helpful. It's not going to be helpful, meaning it won't be helpful for me, because the archway clearly shows the horizontal and the vertical don't have to be touching one another. And so, yes, the Rav Sheshes' comment over here is a little bit strange, because what it seems to be doing is he seems to be wanting to suppress the evidence that would certainly be not working in his favor. And that is atypical. We normally don't find that. We normally find that when it comes to seeking the truth, everyone's interested. And if there's evidence going in one direction, so this is not, it's not a debate club, meaning we're interested in just simply arriving at the truth. And Rav Sheshes over here is interested in suppressing the information. So admittedly, it's strange. I'm sure there are ways to respond to it, but be that as it may, we'll just leave the Gemara off on a really awkward conclusion. Okay, and it gives us a point to pause, to stop. We'll continue tomorrow, but it gives us a chance to review the daf. Number one, we finished off yesterday's daf discussing Omed Meruba Al HaParetz, and the idea that I need more wall than airspace. So if I have the two side by side, so obviously I need an excess of wall than airspace, quantitatively, 3 versus 2. The Gemara turned its attention to the toilet bowl, which is an unusual turn. But the Gemara talked about the toilet bowl. Rabban and Rav Dimi talked about the dimensions of the toilet bowl in terms of making a rooftop. And even though there's airspace right in the middle, but I've got more material than airspace, and exactly how much more material than I have than airspace, seemingly a subtle debate between Rav Dimi and Rabban. Okay, and okay, that's enough in terms of that. The details over there are really extensive. But anyway, fine. Then we talked about Tzuras HaPesach, and we talked about Namal Torah. Tzuras HaPesach allows even for an area wider than 10 amos. The Amal Torah allows for even the Korah being higher than 20 amos. Can the Tzuras HaPesach allow for more height? Can the Amal Torah allow for more width? So by the Tzuras HaPesach, the conclusion very clear. And that Tzuras HaPesach allows for more height and more width. So as long as I have the Tzuras HaPesach, it can be wider than 10 amos, it can be higher than 20 amos. As far as the Amal Torah is concerned, certainly can solve for the problem of being of the Korah being too high. Unclear whether or not it could solve for it being too wide. Gemara continued its discussion regarding Tzuras HaPesach with the Shita of Rav. Rav's position is that Tzuras HaPesach cannot give an allowance for more than 10 amos. Even with Tzuras HaPesach, it still has to be within 10 amos. We explain why that is. You learned it from the Chatzer of the Beis HaMikdash, the Chatzer of the Mishkan, which was only 10, even with Tzuras HaPesach. Rav Yosef wanted to take Rav's halacha and extend it. Not only is Tzuras HaPesach not going to allow for more than 10 amos, it's not going to allow for Omed Meruba Ala Paritz, or Paritz Meruba Ala Omed. If I have more airspace than wall, Tzuras HaPesach cannot suffer that as well. That's Rav Yosef's extension of Rav. Is that extension going to be supportable? The Gemara struggled to support Rav Yosef's extension. Who else is in agreement with Rav that Tzuras HaPesach will not allow for more than 10 amos width? Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan clearly was in agreement with Rav. We went over the halacha that Tzuras HaPesach is going to help not only vis-a-vis Shabbos, but climb as well. Rav Yochanan says, yeah, but Tzuras HaPesach, if it's wider than 10, it's not going to help regarding Shabbos. It'll help regarding climb, but it won't help regarding Shabbos. We turn to the Amud Beis in terms of our review. The discussion then centered around various details regarding the Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach, the strings cannot come off the side of the posts. The side of the side post, they have to come off the top of the side post. A second halacha. There has to be some strength to the Tzuras HaPesach. It has to be able to support the most basic door, even a light door, but it has to do so. Also, Rav Yanai added that it has to be, there has to be the socket hole over there. You don't have to physically put the doorway over there, but at least potentially it has to be there. This last detail, the Gemara seems to just simply dismiss out of hand. Our final topic of discussion is going to be whether or not there needs to be contact between the side posts and the horizontal going over the top. Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Nachman says that there does not have to be contact. As long as the horizontal is over the top, that's sufficient. And Rav Sheshes says there has to be contact. And a strange story told regarding the Reish Galusa. Rav Nachman set up his Suras HaPesach. Rav Sheshes knocked it down. Rav Sheshes actually asked his attendant to do so. Went to jail as a result of that. Rav Sheshes got him out of jail. Okay. And finally, the halacha regarding the archway and the fact that if as long as it has basic dimensions, so it's chayv mezuzah. What if it has basic dimensions, but the arches are encroaching into the area? Do we say that we chisel it out? Does halacha allow us to view it as if it's chiseled out? Machlokes Rameir and the Chachamim. Either way, what comes out over here is that the horizontal line does not have to touch the vertical side posts. This is a clear proof in favor of the sheet of Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes acknowledges that, yes, that's right.